Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, October the 4th. A very pretty day here in North Texas. We still have a little bit of summer. You can feel in the temperatures, but there's also a sense that summer's behind us. It's that transition between summer and fall that we seem to be having here in North Texas today. Today we're going to talk about Kavanaugh and what appears to be the last step toward his confirmation. It all seems that way, although, of course, a lot can change, and sometimes predicting these things is hard to do, but it's starting to look like a confirmation to me. I've got a post coming out, this would be Friday morning, regarding Brazil and the elections in Brazil. They're coming up on Tuesday, and Bolsonaro, one of the candidates, the one who was stabbed a few weeks ago, he seems to be gaining in support, which is interesting, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I have a post this morning over at the American Thinker about the oil industry in Venezuela and what a disaster it is. I mean, how socialism and Chavez and the Maduro government have absolutely destroyed the oil industry in Venezuela. They just don't have the money to keep up with the maintenance. The oil money in Venezuela was used by Chavez primarily and a little bit by Maduro, basically to consolidate their power. The problem is they have not done anything about the industry itself. And this is a country, of course, that lives a great deal or needs a great deal of the cash that comes from oil export. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but I want to begin with a fascinating story that we saw this morning. This is something that we have been seeing quite a bit lately, and that is good economic news. Not just good economic news, but good economic news that we have not seen in quite some time. And for the second month in a row, jobless claims are at their lowest point since the fall of 1969. That's a long time ago, 1969, for those of you who keep up with music. The fall of 1969, well, that was the fall of Abbey Road, if you remember that album by the Beatles, Abbey Road. Well, that was that album was released in the fall of 1969, and that's the kind of information or economic news that we're seeing right now, news we have not seen since 1969, and that is fantastic news. I mean, really, I understand there's always a political angle to this, but when I see economic news, I think of American workers and American businesses, and that's what I'm thinking about. It's great news for them. It's great news for the American people when you have information like this. So the American economy continues to do very well, and obviously President Trump gets a lot of credit for that. And some of the decisions that were made, the tax cuts, the deregulation of the economy, I think that has largely contributed to this economic news. I think there was also an intangible in all of this, something that you cannot measure with economic data. But you see it in consumer confidence, small business confidence. I think there is a sense that the American people feel good about the guy at the White House, at least when it comes to the economy. We know that President Trump has his ways and his style, and sometimes he rubs you the wrong way. But I think most Americans are not really into that. They're not sitting around waiting for his next tweet or talking about his style. I think they're looking at the big picture and the big picture results. And the big picture results are very, very good for President Trump. That's all you can say. They're very, very good for President Trump and the American economy. Let's talk a little bit about Judge Kavanaugh. They did the FBI report. Senators are reading it today, I guess, over at wherever they have it. I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe they only have one copy because they didn't want to have any leaks, although it's going to leak. I mean, what doesn't leak in Washington, D.C.? I mean, you know that. So it's going to leak. But the leaks that we're getting so far are interesting. I mean, the Democrats are not really saying that there's any bad information in it. They're simply saying, well, we didn't spend enough time. The investigation had to go on longer. Well, they were the ones who wanted a quick investigation. And I guess You know, they just want more investigations. But this is coming in a very interesting, or this whole approach by the Democrats is apparently coming at a political price, because more and more polls are beginning to show a backlash against the Democrat Party, a sense that the Democrat Party went too far in the attacks against Judge Kavanaugh. I mean, look, what they should have done is they should have, after the hearings, they went through the hearings. We had a whole week of hearings. They all got to ask him questions. At that point, take the vote, like the Constitution says. Take the vote and move on. But no, they wanted to go on longer, and they waited until the last minute, and they dropped this little thing about the professor who was alleging that something happened in 1982. The whole thing was insane to me. How can you prove something that happened in 1982 when you don't even know when where it happened? But anyway, it got caught up in the politics. You had the not the hearings, but the visits to the Senate by the professor, as well as Judge Kavanaugh. Now they have the FBI investigation. There's apparently nothing new in the FBI investigation. And now we got to vote. I mean, it's time to stop talking about this. Vote. If you don't like him, vote against him. That's the way it should be. But I think people have got to start thinking a little bit here about the big picture and what this is doing to the Constitution. This is not, look, if the Founding Fathers wanted us to have politicized judges, then these judges would have been elected by the people or selected by legislatures, or there would have been an electoral college for the judges or something like that. I think the Founding Fathers wanted the judges to be politically apart. They didn't want judges caught up in the political passions. But unfortunately, because of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court is now in the middle of politics. And any time a Republican is nominated or a Republican president nominates someone to the Supreme Court, it becomes all about Roe v. Wade and abortion. And I think it's very sad. It's very sad because it's diminishing what I think the Founding Fathers, or the power that the Founding Fathers gave the Senate, the advice and consent that is in the Constitution. So I think the Democrats are going to have to let this go through, let this vote happen. If they want to vote against them, vote against them. That's fine. That's part of the game. And then let's move on. Let's move on. I think most of the polls are saying that the American people did not like what they saw in the Senate in the last couple of weeks. This circus of attacking somebody, trying to destroy somebody's life, I don't believe the American people were very happy about that, and I don't blame them. I wasn't happy about it either. You don't sit there and destroy someone's life just because you disagree with him on abortion. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So let's have a vote. Let's move on. There's a lot of other things that have to be done as well in the federal government. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Gerard Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website or his schedule on the show information. Just click under the show description, and you'll see that information. On this day in history, 1957, Sputnik went up into space. Of course, Sputnik was a Soviet capsule that went up into space, and I think it just went around the world one time. But man, it had a tremendous impact on the world. And it pretty much created the space program in the United States, because the United States responded to it very quickly. And from that came eventually NASA and the landing on the moon and everything else. But on this day in 1957, Sputnik was the word of the moment. Charlton Heston was born on this day in 1923. He passed away in 2008, one of the great actors of his generation, just an absolutely great actor. You can watch his movies 100 years from now, I'm sure, and people will appreciate what a great actor he was. And Janis Joplin, this is a sad bit of news here. Janis Joplin died on this day in 1970, a few weeks after Jimi Hendrix had died. And apparently she died of a heroin overdose. So the very talented Janis Joplin, dead at age 27 on this day in 1970. I've got a couple of posts that I wanted to talk to you about. One over in at American Thinker this morning, and that's the Venezuelan oil industry. Look, Venezuela for years had this great oil industry. I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying that it was, let's say, corruption-free or whatever. But the bottom line is that it was a producing oil industry. It exported oil. It trained many, many Venezuelans into the business. There were all kinds of opportunities for Venezuelans to work as chemical engineers, oil engineers, petroleum engineers, whatever it was in that industry. And many of them were educated overseas. They came back to work in their country. But the bottom line is that they were exporting a lot of oil, and oil, of course, was an important part of their economy. Well, that's not the case anymore. Not the case anymore. The oil industry is a disaster in Venezuela, just a total, complete disaster. Right now, the Chinese are trying to put some money into the industry, but, you know, they need a lot more than a little bit of investment. And, of course, the Chinese are not going to put a lot of investment in a country unless they have something back in return. And apparently they're not getting that from the Venezuelans. So the oil industry, another consequence of a failure of socialism, and you're seeing it right there, whether it's Venezuela or Cuba, just total, complete failure of socialism. I mean, it's so clear. I don't know how anybody can somehow, in the name of what, support what's happening in Venezuela. You have Venezuelans crossing the border into Colombia, into Brazil, so the Venezuelan problem is starting to spill into other countries. And I've said it many times, you know, there's been some talk about a military overthrow or some kind of a intervention in Venezuela. I do not support intervention. I think that would be unnecessary on the part of the United States. But I have no problem with the United States working with elements within the country to bring about the overthrow of Maduro, because this country is falling apart and it's a humanitarian crisis now. This is no longer a question of ideology. This is truly a humanitarian crisis. And all you have to do is look at the borders of Venezuela with Colombia and the borders of Venezuela with Brazil. It is a total, complete disaster happening in Venezuela, and the oil industry, of course, right in the middle of it, because oil is the export. I mean, that is the way they get their dollars, and they're clearly not doing that very well. There is an election coming up in Brazil on Sunday, and it's the presidential election. It will be the first of the first round, we believe. We don't think anybody's going to get 50% of the vote. So this is going to be round one, and then there are the two winners will go on to the next round. Interesting article today at Forbes magazine, and I have a post about this coming out tomorrow, Friday, where Mr. Bolsonaro, this is the man who was nearly stabbed to death, I mean, a few weeks ago. I mean, some people don't even know how he survived, because he lost a lot of blood on the way to the hospital, but he survived, and he's recovering, he's in the hospital. Well, he's apparently booming right now, his popularity in Brazil. Now, this is the center-right candidate. Many people are comparing him to Donald Trump. There are some similarities in style and some of the things that he's saying, some of the nationalistic things that he's saying. He's also attacking the political class. So that's why a lot of people compare him to Donald Trump, you know, sort of the Brazilian version of draining the swamp. But I think the issues that are really driving Bolsonaro's campaign or his popularity are basically three. The corruption in the political system, I think most Brazilians are disgusted with that. The economy, Brazil has been in not as bad a recession this year as they were last year, but the economy is simply not growing the way that it should be. And then, of course, crime, which is rampant in most of the major cities, where you have a lot of petty crime, you have a lot of big crime, and then, of course, you have a lot of gang-type crime, particularly related to drugs, because, unfortunately, Brazil has become a hub for a lot of drugs going primarily to Europe, and that, of course, is creating a lot of the violence that we've seen in other countries, whether it's Mexico, of course, or Colombia back in the 1980s. So Bolsonaro is rising. Whether he is rising enough to let's say, win the presidency in the second round, I don't know. We'll have to see that. We'll have to see how that looks after Sunday. But clearly, he's doing well right now, and he's very likely to be one of the two people who will make it past the first round in Brazil. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later.